Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Super Deluxe Gamescast. It's Thursday, March 7th. 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, until we are reunited at PAX East. A reunion, you could say, given what just came out last week.
Many of us, not all of us, to be fair.
We're going to be missing Jeff and CJ. We're going to be missing them a great deal, actually. But, Jeff, I know that you'll be there.
You'll know I'll be flying in there the same time as you guys.
Yeah. You'll be just
in a different format.
Just don't fly a Boeing, man.
Yeah.
Jeff is please don't fly a Boeing. Yeah. No, Jeff's gonna be soaring those digital skies over Boston as we're drinking in Boston. I'm so happy that we're getting back on the PAX circuit as a group. Weird kind of week in video games. There's been a lot of that going around.
Yeah. Before we get started, this is literally all the time I want to devote to this.
We're
not talking about the Sweet Baby Inc. shit. We're not talking about Gamergate 2.0. That's not going to be a major topic of discussion. For those who are blissfully out of the loop, there is a dumb, like, deep state conspiracy, like, bullshit.
So fucking stupid.
That a single narrative consulting firm in the gaming industry with a focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion, called Sweet Baby Inc., is somehow responsible for wokeifying and ruining all of your games.
Can you imagine one fucking firm having that kind of power?
This took only a matter of days to spin up, and yesterday and today particularly have been very, very bad in terms of, like, online harassment. A lot of people are calling it, like, the second coming of Gamergate, both as in they like that, as in they don't like that. It's fucking awful. The best advice I have is if you happen to be on Twitter and dealing with this, because that's where most of this is happening, right? It's not happening in people's Discords mostly. It's not happening on Blue Sky. It's happening on Twitter.
Mick with a mouth in chat. I was really hoping it was people mad about barbecue sauce.
That would be great. It would make more sense to me. Just block and move on. Obviously, we don't need to waste time explaining to you why DEI consulting is not ruining your fucking games. Our audience. That's fucking stupid.
I do want to say, I'll say this. I think it's really unfortunate. I mean, not just that this is happening, but that this is happening right before a major gaming convention.
Yeah, I don't think that's an accident.
Go into that
if I'm going to be honest with you.
Right, exactly. So what I'm saying is, look, if you're at PAX, we have literally pulled fucking security detail for people at PAX, like me in particular. Like, so if you feel unsafe or threatened, just look for a purple face mask with a D-pad on it. Like, we'll hang out with you until you find your group, or if you're at the Westin bar and something feels weird and you need, like, you know, strength in numbers, just let one of us know. Approach one of us, please. Being mentally safe and physically safe is more important than anything else you're going to do at PAX. So, and that is literally all the fucking time I want to devote to these shitheads.
Yep. That's all I got. That aside, we have a good little crew today. We got me, we got Jeff, we got John, we got Finn. Finn, a rare appearance, at least for the first half. Brett will be here in approximately two more minutes, probably.
Okay,
as Brett does.
Why is Finn not on camera?
Because Finn's dying.
I'm sorry.
You don't.
Will I ever see
dead.
You again?
No. Sorry.
No. I'm,
can I have your copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga on the Sega Saturn?
Oh my god.
You cannot. In fact, every game that you want, I've actually contractually put in my will that it will be destroyed in front of you.
That's fine.
Because if there's one thing I want to go out with, it's a fistload of spite. Just for the fun.
Respect it.
You'll die as you live.
Yeah.
There he is.
There I am.
My beautiful boy.
You don't look like you're dying. You sound like it, though.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's okay.
That's why I'm here for part one.
Yeah. Finn, while you're on the spot, what have you been playing recently, bud?
What do you mean?
What you been playing?
And Vin's regards not a to fucking, what?
Vin's not a gamer.
So there's these things called video.
Are you sure you're happy he's on the show?
What's a game? What I've been playing, you like a fiddle. I don't know. Okay, so
a boy lives.
Like and subscribe. We out here.
So I've been playing a bunch of shit since I've last been on.
Call it shit. That's not nice.
Well, we are talking Final Fantasy, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway,
you're playing to the wrong crowd tonight.
I know, right? It's crazy. No. So obviously Rebirth, but I'm very not. So I realized as I got to chapter 2 in Rebirth and started the open world part of it, I was like, wait, I don't think I actually ever played the Yuffie intermission DLC. And lo and behold, I had not. So I went back and I installed the original remake and I burned through that real quick. So I finished 7 remake intermission, and that was dope. I really liked it.
It's really fucking good.
It made Yuffie a more enjoyable character than she's ever been.
He's also extremely fucking fun to play as.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Just fucking ninjutsuing them. I was
her ninjutsu. It's cool.
I kept screaming out, believe it. It was great.
I don't know. That's
a reference John doesn't get, but that's thing, okay. Yeah. It is an anime thing, buddy. Good call. You were halfway there. I also, on my travels, picked up a couple games on all my Minia travel. I've picked up a couple games on my Steam Deck, and I played this one game that came out in November of last year called Bzzzt, B-Z-Z-Z-T. Bzzzt. It's one of those,
how do you pronounce that?
B-Z-Z-Z-T. I don't know. Bzzzt, like it's a robot. It's one of those high precision action platformers where one hit death, but you restart really quick. It's very bite-sized levels. Most don't last more than 20 seconds.
Do you see Super Meat Boy?
Before.
Yeah, very, very inspired by that. Very delightful. I'm 6 levels away from the end of it. That's been a delight so far. The other big one I've been playing is a PC RPG. You know, I've just been ping-pong between all the RPGs. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. So good, but got put on pause because of Rebirth. Because I'm less worried about people on the internet spoiling Infinite Wealth for me than I am about
and you Rebirth.
You have to fight to run into Yakuza or Like a Dragon spoilers,
right? Yeah. So, but also on the PC, I've been playing this one called Thaumaturge by 11-Bit Studios as the publisher. It's one that I discovered at PAX West, and it was really, the demo just crushed it, and I've been keeping it on my radar. It got delayed a couple times, finally dropped at the beginning of this month.
Did you do an interview with them? Was that one of the ones we put up?
So that was the game you played, but it was the same studio. They were next to each other, but I did not interview the Thaumaturge people, but they were right next to the people that I did.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So the Thaumaturge is it's basically what if you take the vibes of The Witcher, because it's another Eastern Poland studio thing.
In and out.
But no. Hold on, John. This is actually more your speed. The gameplay is more in Yakuza Infinite Wealth RPG style.
As long as it's not Witcher 3 combat.
No. See, that's what I'm saying. It's takes place in a pre World War I alternate Russia. So you're interacting with historical figures like Rasputin and stuff, and you play as this character called the Thaumaturge. He's a demonic Pokemon trainer, collecting these demons that represent the 7 deadly sins and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
Hell trying World.
To no but and then there's detective parts that give strong, between the detective parts and the dialogue parts, strong Disco Elysium vibes, but you're just outing yourself as a terrible person with bad taste.
Actually, yes, with that one. So
yeah, sorry, buddy.
No desire to play it either.
Well, again, good on you.
Fucking live.
Everyone that, coming strong off of Baldur's Gate, it's kind of the isometric look gives that kind of feel to it, but it's a mishmash of all, you get these different vibes of all these other games, and it all comes together really well. There's a lot of jank, but that's just what happens with a smaller budget game. But for what it is, it's phenomenal. Like, the voice acting is strong. The quests are really enjoyable. The combat's awesome. It's all turn-based, but done with, like, kind of like the Final Fantasy X style, where you're being told, not Final Fantasy X, you're told whose order is coming up when, but every different ability that you choose has a different length, and that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Yes. And you can use your abilities and your demon's abilities to interrupt and cancel enemy attacks.
Oh, dude, that's Grandia. That's 110% yeah. Grandia.
It's fantastic. I've been really enjoying it. It's one of those, like, dark horse games. And if I hadn't stumbled upon it at PAX West, coming out sandwiched between Like a Dragon and Rebirth, like, and with Persona 3 thrown in the mix, I would have never really looked at it. But because I had already had it on my radar, it has been definitely worth the time. Nice. So Thaumaturge is dope. I actually recorded a review for it last night. I'm gonna whip one up and put it up for us so we can be cool like that.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, Thaumaturge is dope. Vizzt is dope. My PlayStation Portal is dope. It's been great taking it with me on trips and being able to not have to stop playing Like a Dragon in Final Fantasy.
I'm glad you fucking were able to nab one of those.
Oh my! I mean, I was never really big on it until someone finally confirmed that you don't have to be on your own personal Wi-Fi. As long as you are on a Wi-Fi,
I hate that the messaging on that was so confusing.
But it's actually as a portal.
My initial impression was like that it wasn't even Wi-Fi; it was like a local connection direct to the PS5, and I thought that's what made it like so fast. See, I'm with you, Finn. Like, this is like, who's gonna buy this?
But well, in practice and action, it's so good.
It's more about the connection to your PS5 than it is whatever network you're on.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like I can hook my PS5 up to, you know, just plug in the Ethernet cable. And I went all the way down to Savannah, Georgia and played my, and I live in Virginia, played my PlayStation port, my PS5 just fine. No issues.
Yeah. It's great. Like, I played all of Prince of Persia Lost Crown during Mardi Gras at my parents' house.
Zero latency.
It's fantastic.
And between the Portal and the Switch and the Steam Deck, we're kind of like in a new golden age of like remote handheld stuff. It's pretty cool.
I mentioned, like, between the Steam Deck and the Portal, when I finally went back to play the Switch, I was like, damn, this thing's fucking light. It's like it doesn't even exist.
Steam Deck OLED is actually like noticeably lighter than the original. I will say that.
I love it. I've been playing a mishmash of games, and I've been enjoying all of them. I also last thing is I've just finished a 4-player co-op run. We all had never noticed that Halo Infinite finally released its online co-op campaign.
Did it really? Holy shit.
Yeah, apparently like in late 2022. And so we finally played it together, and it was, you know what? It was fun. Not gonna lie. Every game is made better with a grappling hook. That's just statistical fact.
Cool.
That's at least 70% true.
Yeah, we finished a 4-player legendary co-op campaign, just like we had all the other ones. It just took us 4 years longer than we wanted to.
Would
help
if it launched with it.
Sure would have.
Yeah. Jeff, what you been playing, bud?
I've actually been playing some games that aren't a flight simulator.
Nice.
So I've been,
I didn't account for this in the rundown. Oh shit.
Skull and Bones. Let's hear about it, Jeff.
I won't take long. I don't have a ton of interesting things to say. I'm I've talked about it before, so I won't get into it too much. I'm still I'm just finished Act 1 in Baldur's Gate, basically. With my little friend group. So unfortunately I'm just not really enjoying the game, but I don't think it's due to the game. It's just the circumstances. I've decided I don't think I could recommend this for like a first time playthrough playing with friends, because it's like it's chaotic and fun at times. But I was pretty like excited to get the story and like,
yeah, I don't want to play this shit with anyone.
They didn't tell you. I found out after 20 hours there's this menu setting you can toggle so that when your friends talk to a character, it automatically plays the cutscene for you. But prior to that, everyone was just talking to people. And unless you see they have a little ear icon over their character portrait and you click that to listen into their conversation, you won't get the conversation. So I missed like basically all the conversations related to all the quests. And then because there's four of us, you can't have of the main, like, you can't have any of the characters in your party, right? So, like, I've heard you guys talk about Karlach and stuff, but, like, you don't really get much interaction, at least so far, with any of the characters, and I could tell I'm missing a big piece there. But, like, the gameplay is good. The gameplay is fun. I really enjoy the combat encounters. It's pretty crazy. After 30 hours, I finally kind of understand how turns and actions work. I still feel like it could have done a bit better onboarding, but, like, I really appreciate the design of the game. I think it's fantastic. I just am kind of bummed I didn't have a better experience with it, but I'm probably going to get back to it in a few years. I'll give it another run and, like, play it by myself and take my time and really get to, like, soak in the world and stuff like that. And I think I'll have a very different opinion on it.
When you started playing and you were talking about it, you're like, I don't like it. And I was like, you need a solo experience. I was like, your experience should have been solo.
It is what it is. I didn't know how the structure of it worked.
It's been so interesting hearing people, like, the ways people gravitate towards, like, the styles of play in that game based on, like, kind of how they're approaching it and what they're valuing most. Could talk about that game for ages.
Yeah. It got better once I gave up trying to follow the story and just embrace the chaos. And it's like, I could tell my one friend who's beaten it twice is, like, trying to get us to do the perfect playthrough. And he's like, maybe we should try to talk this out. And we're like, fuck it, kill everyone. So,
Jesus Christ.
I think we've just left a bloody massacre everywhere we go in that game. So
that's the Dungeons & Dragons way, buddy.
basically with the same group, I played a little bit of Helldivers, actually, which, like, again, normally isn't my cup of tea. I'm not really into shooters anymore, but I couldn't resist. Yeah,
service means citizenship, all right?
Democracy. The opening scene.
Why did democracy fail us?
We've talked about it before. Games don't do humor very well. It's too often cringy and very try-hard and just doesn't pull it off. The opening cutscene to Helldivers 2 is one of the funniest fucking things I've seen since, like, a Telltale game. It works so well. It just sets the tone for the game. I don't have, like, a lot of deep thoughts on it other than it's just a fucking blast.
I gotta tell you, though, Jeff,
isn't that all that matters, though?
It is, yeah.
That is what matters.
You're just shooting monsters, shooting bugs, and the stratagems that you call down are just, it's like, that's like half the game is just managing those button combos. And I don't know, I can't explain it. There's something so satisfying of watching your, like, Helldiver dude go up to a screen and just fucking mash all the little directional buttons on it.
Can we talk about how much this game is fucking taken off? Like,
yeah,
like it, there's only been a 4% drop in players since launch, which is fucking insane.
Well, and I think our friend Matt Piscatella pointed out.
I love, like, that he put, yeah,
the sales curve is actually increasing. Like, the normal game launch is, like, you know, launch weekend like this, and this one is, like, it's selling more this week than it was last week.
According to him, it's had 3 weeks of an inverse sales curve, which he said is practically unheard of, which I think is just fun.
Oh, dude, and they did all that with, like, weeks of server issues and stuff. It would have been very unfortunate if everyone had just kind of moved on and gave up because they couldn't get into the game. But I think it speaks to the buzz and, like, how good the game is that people were willing to wait, or I should say stay logged in for 7 days straight so that they didn't get booted.
I want to address something somebody said in chat, Jeff, like, I'm absolutely down for Michael Ironside DLC.
Yeah,
absolutely
down.
Let's
do it.
Michael Ironside and Casper Van Dien. Let's fucking let Rico's Raiders. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. I would. Yeah, they've got to be working on a Starship Troopers collaboration or something like that.
They'd be right. Like, they'd be fucking stupid not to.
And then last one, which I know Derek and I talked a little bit about the other week. I'm still playing Persona 3. Again, still a very good game. One thing that really I have to mention, I mentioned the Discord, and it just, maybe I'm out of the loop, maybe this is a big deal, like, there's a this also made me quit the game. There's a costume in the game that I got, and it basically makes one of the 16-year-old girls naked.
I'm sorry,
and it's not naked, but it's a very skimpy bikini.
It's very close. Persona 3 Reload.
Yeah. I know which one you talk about. Okay.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Like, I don't want to call out a genre in particular.
Will, dude. Persona in particular can be.
I understand, like, the sexualization of women in games. I guess I was not expecting it for children, and I'm also shocked that, like, this game got really good reviews. And maybe I'm just a loop. I'm shocked there's not articles all over the place, because, like, not that I'm, like, whatabouting, but, like, we had so much talk about, like, Kojima and, like, Quiet and, like, that whole thing. And like, that was fucking weird and gross, but like, also she was at least an adult. Yeah. Like the fact that like, I presume adult male video game developers took time to like create this skin and put it in that, like, it just, I can't wrap my mind around it. And it's just fucking weird. And it's, I'm thankful I was able
definitely
to get over it.
Gross.
Like, at least it's like optional, right? It's very easy to ignore. And we've talked about before, like, I've played Persona 4. There's, you know, I'm not a stranger to the series issues. But thankfully, so far, the game has been mostly free of those, aside from like, that's just why it was such a bummer. I was like, well, why? Especially because it's a remake. So even if this was in the original game, like, they had to make some effort to re-include this in 2024.
Yeah.
I don't want to harp on it too much. It's just like, it sucks when you're really, really enjoying a game and you have something that's kind of, you were so close. But the game's good. The game's really fun. I'm in September now. I'm really enjoying kind of doing things at my own pace. I find I have to fight my urge to like max out all the social links, and it can get a little bit stressful, like trying to decide how to manage your time because you don't want to miss a certain event. But it's when I just kind of decide, hey, I'm just going to do what I want to do on any given day and hang out who I want to hang out with and do, you know, go see a movie or whatever. It's chill. But you know what? The dungeons are like better than I thought. I think I'm enjoying them more than Persona 4 Tartarus. And I'm surprised, like, there's lots of nice little
quirks.
There's
a little variety and little mechanics and stuff.
Yeah, like they kind of like, you know, they kind of drip feed it to you as you go along. Like the Monad doors are like a nice little extra challenge. And oh my God, I have to fucking call this out because I hate this in games. And I love Final Fantasy to death. You guys know that. But like, especially the PS1 games, which I've played a lot, like Final Fantasy VII, there's always the point in the story where like certain characters get removed from your party for a period of time. And then either they fall behind or you get stuck with the characters you haven't used in 10 hours and they're all super low level. And I could see that happening in Persona, where like I picked my kind of my party of four and everyone is like 15 levels below. There's a mechanic you run into every once in a while. It's like, hey, pick two characters and we'll just catch them right up and you don't even really have to do anything. That's awesome. More RPGs.
Jeff, I will maintain forever that Persona 4 has better characters, but Persona 3 is just a better game.
I would maybe agree with that. Yeah, which is hard because like I'm really into these games for the links and the characters. So I think like I can appreciate their different games that I think 4 does some things better and 3 does, but I could tell 3 is like really going places. I'm getting a little bit further in the story, so I don't want to spend too much more time talking, but yeah, that's what I've been playing. Those are all video games and they're all really good.
Video games exist and they're good. Brit, what you've been playing?
I've been playing a lot of card games.
Yeah, you have.
So we got a code for Balatro and I took that, and then it took me once I started playing.
That stream was so fun.
Brit sent me a text on her way when she was on her way to my place with Zach, and she was just like, it was just a picture of her playing Balatro on the plane.
Yeah. It's a great game. It's fun. Like, there's literally nothing to it. Like, I can't describe the game. It's just a rogue like poker hand. You just playing poker, and then you have little abilities and multipliers and things like that. You get five of them. You can also increase that, you can decrease that, you can buff up certain hands. Like, I always go with flushes are my bread and butter when I play through it. You know, there's different decks that you can get, and it's just really fun to see how far you can get with different hands and stuff like that. And that's really, I super recommend it. It's just such a fun, chill game.
That one really also seems to be blowing up like a little bit. I hadn't heard of it before.
It is.
Ben mentioned it, and then
I saw 500,000 sales.
Yeah, because I saw Brit stream it, and then like, I've got a couple friends who don't even really play many video games, and I saw one of them playing Balatro the other day, and I was like, oh shit, like, he's got some legs.
It's really addicting, simply for the fact that it's so fun, and it's like just different every time you play it based on what kind of like bonuses and jokers that you're getting. So Balatro is on Switch and Steam. I believe
it on like everything. I thought it was also,
is it on everything,
like PlayStation and Xbox as well?
I think it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
let me
then
double
it's,
check
it's,
because
it's,
I could be talking up my ass.
We've killed the joke to death, but that is a perfect game for Switch. Like,
yeah. Oh, it is. It 100%. That's why I bought it for Switch. I was like,
one could even say it's aces.
Yes.
Shut the fuck up, Finn. That was good though.
We'll have to record.
I'm gonna club you the next time I see you.
Good news, you're safe for a while.
Whatever you say, Jack.
Do you mean like Jeff? By that, do you mean you're gonna take him to the club?
No.
Yeah.
We'll have to record a full review on this at some point, because I definitely want to hear more in depth about stuff I didn't get to catch like in the stream. I'll be very excited to talk to you about that.
I was just gonna say it's really fun, and it's like really hard to sell people, because that's literally like, it's just poker, but then you get like random statuses and shit that adjust your hand, and sometimes it's not even beneficial to play a poker hand. Sometimes it's beneficial to do a pair over a fucking full house or whatever. It's just super fun. I've been playing it a lot. I played it a lot on the plane. I played it a lot at John's. I've been playing a lot of 14. I caught up on the story about 2-3 weeks ago. And I've just been leveling up my crafters. I've been leveling up different jobs. Just
great. You got your relic weapon.
I did. I finally got a relic weapon. And I think it's the easiest one to get.
It is.
So that was why I was able to get said relic weapon. Cause it's not a lot of grinding.
It's just like irregular tombstones.
Yeah. So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did that. I caught up on the Mandeville quest, which was actually really fun. I did not enjoy the Heavensward one, so going into, like, I literally just finished the Stormblood Mandeville quest when I started the Endwalker one, so sometime in the last few months. The Endwalker Mandeville quest was really fun, so I did that.
Can I ask a question, Britt?
What?
Who would you rather smash, Hildebrand or Godbert?
Godbert! Fucking...
Okay, that's what
hands
I thought.
Down. Are you kidding
that's
me? Godbert
that's
every time.
Thought.
Every choice. And I've also been playing Rebirth. I just completed the Grasslands. I'm not that very far. And when I say completed, I did everything. All of Chadley's bullshit in that area. And one thing that I did want to talk about when I was talking about 7, other than the amazingness that is Queen's Blood, I wanted to talk about the combat system and how it's an action game that genuinely feels like an RPG, just because you have to wait for your ATB bars. And it's fucking, it's wild. Because I have a difficult time in that game. And it's funny to, like, because Zach and I are playing through it at the same time, and it's funny to see where he gets stuck and where I don't have any issues, or where I get stuck and he doesn't have any issues, and your party makeup. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I didn't expect it. I was dreading the release of another mainstream Final Fantasy game, but it's been very pleasant. It's been very fun. The side quests are fun. And it's not too, like, there's a lot of stuff you have to do in the first area, but it doesn't seem to drag out like it does in other games.
Right.
But yeah, I've just been having fun with that. My party is Cloud and Tifa, of course, because she's best girl, and Red 13.
Way better than I thought he'd be.
He is so
a fucking
good.
Joy to play as.
He really is. He's so fun. Like, anytime I'm struggling on a fight, I bust that baby out and he wrecks. It's insane. I haven't touched Barret almost at all, sadly, but just because I haven't had to. And yeah, it's just been a little treat. I'm really enjoying it and I didn't expect it.
All right.
Oh, wait, Queen's Blood. Could we talk about Queen's Blood?
Let me talk to you about
Queen's Blood.
Please.
So Queen's Blood is a card game in Rebirth, and I didn't think I was going to like it, because I'm like, what is this triple triad trying to be ass bitch? But it is very fun. It's so fun, and I can't express the feeling I get when I dominate NPCs who are just shitting on me for even approaching them, for even getting in their vicinity. They are just the biggest fucking assholes. And then I fucking womp them. They were like, oh, well, maybe I'm not as good at the game. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking right. You suck. You suck. But yeah, it's just really hard to play. But basically, you put down cards, and based on the shape of what's on your card is going to hit the blocks on the, I don't want to say deck. What is it?
Is it
the board?
It's some like triple triad Tetramaster shit. Right,
pretty
like,
much.
Yeah,
yeah.
They gave FF7 no a card involved. Game.
It's got some Gwent vibes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's very fun, and it's very fun to just. My favorite tactic is to just get like one row where I get as many points as I can, and then just like cock block them on the other rows, so they just can't really score many points. Like they can score points, sure. And they can have those rows, but if I like beef up that one row, it just, oh, it's so good. I love it. Didn't think I was gonna love it, but it's just, it's very good, very very good.
John, what you been playing, bud?
Well, I have been playing a lot of Madden. You guys know I'm a huge Madden. No, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Fucking obviously, dude. So I am. I am actually just about to hit the town of Corel, which is chapter 7, I believe. I spent fucking 2.5 hours in Costa del Sol. Like, Costa del Sol takes up a lot more than you think, and it's fucking great. You can scoot around on a Segway. It's fucking fantastic. I love it. Everything about this game from top to bottom sings. I went in skeptical, and what I learned was this is literally Square firing on every single cylinder. This game is fucking amazing. I love everything about it. There's like 500 fucking musical tracks. I've never played a game with this many fucking tracks in it. Like it's absolutely wild. I've been playing as Yuffie. Yuffie is a joy to play as. So is Red 13. Like the whole fucking game is just, they take things, like there's all these little callbacks to the original Final Fantasy VII that are like, you know, some of them are really subtle and you'll go, oh yeah, yeah, okay. Like this is a different variation on this. And then some of them, it's just a complete fucking nostalgia bomb. But there's so many little call-outs to the original game that you'll see them all over the place, and there is so much of the original game's DNA in this, but it also feels like an entirely fucking new thing, like an entirely new thing, and I could not be happier with the way this has turned out so far. Now, it could all fucking fall apart in the back end, right? Like everything. Everything could fucking just come crashing down, right? Based on reviews, I don't think that's going to be the case. But this is legit an all-timer Final Fantasy. Which, if you're a Final Fantasy fan, like it's a good fucking time to be alive right now. We had 16 last year. We had 7 Rebirth. Just came out. Like there's more shit happening. Like it Visions of Mana is coming out this year. Like it's a good time to be a Square fan, and it's nice to see Square bringing their A game into shit. I don't think I could possibly be happier with the way this has turned out so far. The areas are huge. Like Corel is fucking massive. It is enormous. You can't even, apparently the whole fucking map of Corel doesn't even open up until a few more chapters in. I spent what? Think about this. The initial walk from Midgar to Calm in the original Final Fantasy VII is like, I don't know what, Derek, 20 seconds?
Maybe.
20 seconds? Yeah. I spent 8 hours in the fucking grasslands outside of Calm. I spent 8 hours in Junon, like it is, there's a whole backstory behind Junon now. Like, it is absolutely fucking wild. I love everything about this game, and I could not be happier with the way it has turned out. That is all I have been playing this week. I've been playing nothing but Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's all I've got on my fucking brain right now. That's it. So yeah.
All right,
that's what I got. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
I'm gonna be very quick, because we're quite a
bit. What the fuck is everybody making fun of me in chat? What is this shit?
You're just what we do. Getting enrichment in your enclosure, John. That's what the podcast is enrichment time.
What did I do? I didn't do anything to deserve this.
So I've only really been playing two things over the past couple weeks, because I haven't wanted to start anything big, because Dragon's Dogma 2 is coming, and that's obviously going to be my entire personality for a while, and I'm not
Eric,
sure.
Did you just see they just dropped the character creator today?
I did see that, but I don't know when we might be getting a code. So I'm like not wanting to commit to anything meaningful in case I get that email like tomorrow. You know what I mean? So one thing I've been playing is I did replay God Hand for an appearance on a podcast called Tales from the Backlog, which will be coming out sometime in May. So I'll make sure I share that around when that episode is done. God Hand, for those who don't know, old PS2 Capcom Clover Studios brawler, extremely fucking weird. It's kind of like the most, it's a comedy game, right? Like, it's definitely there to make you laugh almost more than anything, aside from the fact that it's also just a brutally difficult brawler. Yeah, God Hand's great. God Hand was Shinji Mikami, yes. It's funny. Now, one thing that like, it's been a long time since I played it, so going back to God Hand, like, it definitely, some parts of the humor have not aged well, right? It's very funny, but like, right, there's a lot of enemies. There's a lot of like little people as enemies, that use a very derogatory word that was common at the time for them.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
You know, you've got like Mr. Gold and Mr. Silver, who were the two extremely tall, lanky gay dudes who you fight as like the
Wait,
first
I'm sorry,
bosses.
What are their names?
Mr. Gold and Mr. Silver. And they're dressed,
they sound like fucking James Bond henchmen.
In like flamboyant like dancers, like with feather boas. They're very like, in a funny way,
may I introduce you to Mr. Gold?
They've wrapped
and Mr.
back
Silver
around to being great in a RuPaul kind of way. There's the game isn't great. There's only two women characters in the game, and they are both fan service objects who are like mostly kind of unlikable and shitty people.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, so like many aspects of this game have definitely not aged well. I do think it's funny, but like, go back to it with the expectation of like, I'm going back to a game that is not you know, problematic fave, let's call it. I mean, it could be worse, but the other thing is, I reinstalled the original Dark Souls as a like comfort game. I decided to do like a sorcery kind of build, because I've never ever, I'm realizing in all these years,
you're normally a pyro guy, right?
Well, I've done some pyromancy, but usually I just make a big meaty man smacker, right? I just go for like
that's Derek for you.
Yeah, buddy.
That's Derek for you.
I just pump everything into strength and dexterity and make a big ass quality build and smack people with heavy two-handed swords, right? I'm the worst kind of Dark Souls player. So instead of playing a big meaty man smacker, I went for a little glass cannon mage. And here's the deal. People say that the sorcery builds are absolutely broken in the Dark Souls games and in like Elden Ring. I'm dog shit at it. It turns out it really is my job to just run in and beat people up and not like try to sit back and hit them with my pew pew stick. I don't even know if I'm going to finish Dark Souls 1 that way. I'm definitely not enjoying playing a mage too much, but
I was okay. Muted, so I just want to say I didn't give you permission to use my likeliness when you said what you play as. we're gonna have to fucking take that up behind off the camera.
Go, 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 go.
Get out of here.
But yeah, that's all I've been playing, and I dearly hope I'm gonna get that code for Dragon's Dogma A at all, but like B any day now. So yeah, that's it. So that is everybody. So we can go ahead and move on to our first topic. So how many of you all here, I know me and John have talked a lot about this. I don't know about the rest of you have paid much attention to this lawsuit Nintendo brought against the developers of Yuzu, the Switch emulator.
I know of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I know there was an emulation company or whatever that got shut down. And then I believe the other one was like collateral damage, more or less. Kind
of. And like companies, maybe not the right word, right? But like this was okay. A group of people. They did have a Patreon up, right? So they were, you know, taking money to keep developing the emulator. That's legal, right? Like emulation is a legal thing. That has been settled for a long time.
As long as it's reverse engineered, right? And I think that was where some of this stuff came in here.
That ultimately was kind of the hinge of this whole lawsuit, right? That that it did require some form of key file being dumped from your Switch that had not been made publicly available.
What kind of file?
I don't know enough about, I don't do Switch emulation. I do enjoy emulating, but I don't emulate anything current as a personal rule of thumb. So I don't really know a lot about that. But the long and the short of it is that rather than allow this to go to court, which might have been disastrous for the particular avenue in which Nintendo was suing the developers of Yuzu, and might have settled that aspect into some form of like, case law, the developers of Yuzu paid a tremendous like multi-million dollar fine and ceased development of Yuzu and also ceased development of Citra, which is a 3DS emulator. Just it's like I said, collateral damage, right? It's the same team. It's a different system. It is another Nintendo system. It technically was not infringing in the same way Yuzu was, but you shut one down, you shut both down. And I think there's been a lot of kerfuffle, I guess we shall say, about some of the details of why Yuzu in particular, like, were they promoting piracy? Were they, you know, in their Discord or behind the scenes, etc.? I think more important to me is I wanted to talk about kind of the gray area that is emulation, because we don't talk about emulators much, right? Like as a,
whether we talk about it at all, like
we especially generally don't.
We try not to, simply because like once you get that status of like, you know, okay, we're doing content creation with several, you know, major publishers, like it doesn't pay to talk about that shit publicly. You
it's
know what I mean?
Really like, hard to untangle the subject of emulation from the subject of piracy.
It really fucking is.
But like the reality of it is that also there's a ton of games that are not available. Hey guys, guess how I played God Hand, right? Like my PS2 doesn't work anymore. I am one of the like,
are you went and bought a second PS2?
Sure. I am. I did own God Hand at one point, which is hard because only like 60,000 copies of that game got sold worldwide.
Oh God, we're getting raided by Josh.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. But
ooh, yeah.
Like, how do you think in the year 2024, somebody is playing God Hand when only 60,000 copies of that game were ever shipped?
You pick up the Bible, Derek. Yeah, you pick up the fucking
you
Bible.
Don't play God
real
Hand. God,
you want to catch the real God Hand right here, motherfucker? Let's go.
But, but like that's a game that's never been remastered, never been ported, never been on a digital shop. It's only ever been on the PS2, and it's done. And there's a lot of games of the older era where that's the case. But it's settled that like emulation's legal, right? If I wanted to, I could have something like Yuzu, right? Or I think there's another Switch. I don't know because I don't. But I have every legal right to put that on my computer and say, okay, well, here is my Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and however the hell you would rip a Switch cartridge onto your computer, and I could emulate that just because
I'm enjoying the hand gestures to go along.
Yeah, so it's really it really adds something, Derek.
Yeah,
you're like a magician.
Yeah. Sure. Watch Rar make this asshole in chat disappear.
I just noticed we banned someone. I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah, it's good. That's how little time they can take up.
Rar's like a fucking gunslinger with that shit.
But like, I guess I kind of like, if we're gonna bust the seal down, like, how many games do you think you love that would have been lost forever if not for emulation? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I mean, both to the listeners and to like y'all, because I've got a ton of games I truly love. And
but and it's hard, especially with the old stuff. Like, as an example, I bought a, maybe 10 years ago, I bought an unopened PlayStation 1, and I can't tell you how fucking expensive that was, because I had bad luck buying used ones from stores before. They would just always die as I was getting them repaired. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go buy a new one. And I had it for a while, and I've read mixed things. I don't know if it's like disc rot or whatever, but I had new discs that were in flawless condition, and I had that thing, and I think the laser, the reader on it was dying. But like, that's the nature. Like, you know, these consoles aren't being made anymore. These discs or cartridges, whatever, aren't being printed anymore. They're physical materials. They will deteriorate over time. And like, it was just a fucking pain in the ass to get it working. I was like, I got my stack of PS1 games here that I own. I give up on that. I'm just going to go fucking play them on my computer where I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, Duck Station, like, said, works great.
Yeah, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is why, like, you guys know, like, I've been banging the fucking, you know, games preservation drum for years now on this shit, right? Like, you guys remember, just a few months ago, I found my old Super Nintendo from 27 fucking years ago, or my mom did, and she gave it to me, and it doesn't it fired up once to let me know. It was like, John, thanks for all the adventures, and then it died, right? Like, but at one point, that came out a lot goofier than I intended. But like, at some point, all these fucking platforms are going to die. Like PSP batteries. Do you guys know why PSPs are getting harder and harder to find? Because the batteries are fucking blowing up. Batteries are
exploding.
Up.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, eventually.
Oh, fuck. I got to check my PSP.
Dude, check the PSP, because you might have a bomb.
I haven't checked it in a couple years. So like, I don't know.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your PSP battery is, Derek?
but like, I mean, this shit eventually is going to go away. At some point, it's going to become harder and harder and harder to find. Like, there are already games out there lost to time, right? Like, and, you know, so, you know, this is different. Like, guys, do you remember when we had that big conversation around Metroid Dread, when I can't remember what website published an article? It's like, you know, you can go pirate Metroid Dread right now. And it's like,
I don't think it was saying, like, you can pirate Metroid Dread. It was saying Metroid Dread already runs on an emulator. And like,
no, I
would like to not name the outlet, because we obviously
I'm not naming
very
any outlets,
much
but
do not want to get into like talking about outlets.
No, I'm not naming an outlet. What I'm saying is, you know, people hear emulation, a lot of people, and all they think is, oh, you're pirating games. But that's not what most people who emulate games do. Most people want to emulate games that you can't fucking play anymore. And it really fucking irks me, guys. It fucking yucks my yum that there are publishers.
I hate that.
Dude, I know it sounds like you're yucking his yum, Finn. I don't like my yums being yucked at all. And when a developer or a major publisher comes down on any emulator simply for making games that are 20 fucking years old that they're not making money on anymore, like, that absolutely yucks my fucking yum. It yucks it so hard, dude.
Derek, maybe you can clarify, just because, like, I want to circle back to, like, the Yuzu thing specifically.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like John's saying, like, it's, I think from what I've caught, like, from the sidelines of the conversation, it's kind of like there's people who genuinely care about, like, the preservation of games and, like, emulating for the right reasons. And then, but it becomes a little different when you start trying to make it a product of your own and make a profit of it, or make money off of
maybe,
it, right? Like,
I mean, I don't really know the moral gray area of that, right?
Okay. Like, I do think the Yuzu situation is a bit complicated. Right.
So let's be clear about one thing, right? Is that like you can't really separate piracy from emulation, because even a lot of what we're saying right now about preservation of old games, we're talking about people having access to games that they never owned, right?
Yep, right.
But that they cannot pay Nintendo or Activision.
No one is
Capcom
losing
for.
Money because you cannot purchase them
you
anymore.
You literally cannot.
You know what?
And
either that or they're prohibitively fucking expensive. Finn.
Well, again, buying something from a collector is not the same. Like, if I buy
but
$120 copy of Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, Nintendo gets $0.
$120. Finn, how much is your copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga worth? Go ahead.
Ooh. It's worth a whole heck of a lot.
It's
Hold
four
on.
Figures.
Yeah, but no one gets that money, I think, is Derek's point.
Right. It's
so it doesn't
it's
matter how
it's right.
No. Yeah. Absolutely agreed. All I'm saying is that people turn to emulation because playing a lot of these games
is prohibitive.
Legally,
it's
you can't fucking afford that.
The problem is scalpers and everyone have gotten to the market, and it's made things so prohibitively expensive
terrible.
To even just dip your toes into.
Well,
Xenogears right now, a physical copy of Xenogears goes for $400.
But like, it cannot be denied, right, that when you get an emulator like Yuzu, it's being used to pirate games that are on sale right now on the shelf.
That's true, and that right?
One of the things
support.
Nintendo brought up in court, right, was how many people were playing Tears of the Kingdom pirated before it even released. Because a leaked ROM made its way out and people with emulators were able to emulate it.
It was like a million or something?
Something like that. And I've read people have pointed out that technically it's the other emulator that ran Tears of the Kingdom and Yuzu didn't until after. I don't know. Point is, when you design an emulator for a system that's on the market, like, yeah, you're enabling piracy. Like, that's gonna happen. And I think that you can pretend that everything you're making is just for people to dump their own ROMs, but like that's not what most of the user base is going to do.
Well, and there's no way that they don't know that.
They absolutely right. have to.
They have to know that.
But the flip side is like, if you don't get working on this shit now, there won't be a Switch emulator. There won't be a 3DS emulator, any of these things 10 years down the road, right? So, like the work kind of has to start somewhere.
So all right, so here's my question, right? Like, how do we fix this? Because like, look, after Yuzu got you know fucking shut down, two other emulators that do the exact same thing popped up in its place, right? Like, it's like Hydra, right? Like, cut off one head, two more will take its place. You're not ever going to kill emulation. You're not, and nor should you, because this is the best way to play tons of fucking games that people never normally would have the chance to play. That being said, no, I don't think it's right to emulate. I don't think it's right to pirate games that have like just released, right? Like I because that negates the hard work of all the people who made these games. So where's the middle ground, right? Like how do publishers live in a world where, you know, it's like, okay, we're not going to fucking like, we're not going to give a shit about games that came out 20 years ago. We can't make money off of anymore. As long as you don't like, what's the actual fucking solution here? Because what I don't want to see is, like, for example, Nintendo, who is notorious for this shit, go after people just trying to make it possible for people to play old games.
So step one is not talking about it is not the solution, right? Because people like to act
right,
like,
to
oh no,
it.
People like people forwarded that Yuzu existed to Nintendo and then they came after them. Like, you are crazy if you don't think Nintendo knows about every emulator and every major fan project well before you do. Kotaku writing an article about a fan game is not what gets that game shut down, right? Yep. So like I want people to calm down there. I think the people who made Yuzu fucked up. They crossed into legally gray area by requiring this system key file or whatever it is off of people's Switches in a way that had not been deemed legal yet, or maybe not, right? But like, the other one didn't get shut down, so it's doing fine, and I think arguably the other one's more compatible. So if you're making an emulator, you gotta know what is the white area, right? And stay
well, there's
in
that. Also, there's so, also... Jeff, please, I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say, Like, I'm curious, because I was thinking about it, and then Renato in chat said something similar. Like, you know, I'm not the money guy. I understand, like, already we see a lot of games going digital only because of the complications associated with physical distribution. But I have to believe, you know, if we can go, I understand video games are different than music, but, like, if I can go buy a CD, like, of an album that was made 60 years ago still, or a vinyl, and there's some way people have found to manage that production, which granted, like, millions of people aren't buying vinyls of an album that old, but, like, obviously someone is making money off it. There has to be, I have to believe there's some kind of arrangement. Like, why can't Super Nintendo games still be printed on cartridges, right? Why can't there be limited run, like, why can't limited amounts of something, even if we don't go back as far as Super Nintendo, right? But, like, why can't PlayStation 4 games still be printed? Why can't PlayStation 3 games still in small amounts with the right distributor for the right in the right format? I have to believe there is a small audience because people are emulating these games, like, decent numbers of people, and the resale markets are alive and healthy. I guess it's probably just because they're chasing the big money, which is what we see, and they know they can't make $50 million by doing this. But there has to be a way where they can, you know, through partnerships or whatever, find a thing that benefits everyone. And I don't know, like, what if you could just buy these games for reasonable prices and play them?
My whole
novel
thing is
fucking,
like,
concept.
Yeah, my whole thing is, like, why? What's going on in the industry that's making these companies, like, not want to make money? Right? Because, like, if you offer these games, you know, on a different service. Like, or preserve them somehow, like,
that's the thing, like, even money. If you don't want to go to the trouble of printing and distributing copies, I get that, like,
yeah,
you know, Nintendo, like, through those old Mario games, the Mario All-Stars collection, you could just, even if it's a half-assed emulator, throw it on your digital shop, and why can't we do that?
Here's the most here's the frustrating thing about that, Brit, is knowing that 2 years ago, and this has been confirmed, that Square had a plan to launch a digital storefront where you could purchase older SNES and PS1 era titles and play them on your console of choice. And they didn't go through with it. And it makes me want to slam my fucking nuts in a car door.
That, like, that's what I don't understand, is what is, like, the holdup with trying
to
preserve.
You don't
want
to make money? Like,
well, and it's like, okay, so maybe at some point you're gonna fucking remaster the game or remake the game. Like, people are, if they enjoy it, they're gonna, like, partake in both.
Yeah.
Sorry, Britt, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, well, as we're talking through it, one tricky thing I see is, like, a lot of licensed games, I don't even know what the solution is there. Like, I'm thinking about Activision. I don't know if they did the War for Cybertron series. Those were Transformers games.
Yeah, they did.
But, like, all the Activision Spider-Man games, Activision can't distribute those because I don't think they have the license anymore. But, like, whoever has the Spider-Man license now doesn't have the license for the Activision Spider-Man games. So, like, I don't... There has to be a solution, but, like, that shit also gets really messy, and, like, they can't just...
Yeah, I was just going to say, in with, like, everything becoming, like, digital only, there's so much shit that it's like, it's to me, it's not worth it. I prefer to have physical copies. I know Finn's with me on this. But it's so dicey to have, to me, like, digital copies. Like, I know you're all for it and everything, but it could just go away. They have the ability to be like, you bought this, but, you know. Sorry, we're not gonna.
I love my
we're not gonna offer this to you anymore.
You bought it, but not anymore. You didn't actually buy it. You leased it temporarily, and now we've revoked it
at full price.
I want to touch on something Britt said, because I think this is important, right? Like, the reason here's an example: the reason that Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6 were not on the Nintendo eShop or, like, on Switch Online, right? Is because obviously they're working on the pixel remasters, right? But do you think for one fucking minute, Square, that people would not have bought the pixel remasters anyway? Like, I mean, yes, they fucking would have. Like, they absolutely fucking would have.
Because also,
I went back to the PS3 and played Final Fantasy VI. Like, why didn't they, like, put that shit forward?
Literally, anybody with any smartphone can so easily play like Final Fantasy 4, 5, or 6 right now, right? There's nothing stopping people from playing like good versions of this game for free. And yet people bought the pixel remasters because it turns out most people do just want to stick within the system. Most they people do. Don't want to pirate. And piracy,
people are also lazy like me. I understand I can emulate. I don't want to find the right emulator program. I don't want to download. I don't have to set up a controller configuration. I don't want to have to do that. I just want to turn on my PlayStation, press two buttons, and go to the store, buy a game, and play it there where I play everything else.
Jeff, Roronado in chat just brought up an incredible fucking point. I'm so glad you did. The PS1 classics trapped on the PS3 is so sad. Yes, I bought those fucking games. On I bought those PS1 classics. I can play them on my
PS3. That's what I said.
I can play. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? Britt, if you buy Threads of Fate, which I know you love, Threads of Fate is one of those classic all-time, just feel good, you know, Square PS1 era games. If you bought Threads of Fate on PS3 and Vita, why the fuck can you not download it to your PS5? It makes zero
it makes no sense.
I mean, we talked about a million people pirating Tears of the Kingdom before it released. That game went on to sell like 21 million copies, guys. Piracy clearly did not stop that game from selling stupid numbers.
I actually I want to ask Britt a question. Britt, so I know that this is an issue that frustrates the shit out of you, right? Just like because I know that I know that you've purchased PS1 classics on these systems and you can't fucking play them on a Sony network that you own the games on.
Right.
So how do we affect a change? Like how do we like what is going to be that thing that wakes fucking Sony and Square and Capcom and all these other companies up to be like, "Hey, there's a fucking demand for this shit."
Well, I can like, tell you why like Sony didn't put them on PS5. Because they can't sell them anymore, so they can't make money off them. So why are they going to put the effort into, you know?
Well, I know why, but Britt, I'm wondering how do we fucking fix this? Like, what's the impetus for change here?
So I'm like, why don't you just pay those emulator people, right? Like, why don't you, if you don't want them to illegally distribute your game, hire them, like take them off the market, like make it so they can't. And like it's like you said, you know, you cut one head, another one pops up. But it's like for such a large distributor of like classic games, it's like you're taking out one of the biggest people of game preservations, and then you'd be making money off of that. Like there has to be there's some kind of it's like Rar said, there has to be some kind of financial incentive for them to do this. And that's what we're not getting is the financials of it. Like what's preventing them? Because we've seen them emulate like Final Fantasy, the collection 1 through 6, like they can do it. To my knowledge, it's not hard. So what's not clicking? That's, I don't know. Just pay the people who are making it work, make it happen.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Derek, go ahead.
I don't know where the line needs to be, but like the simplest option that this industry could take, and it's not going to, but the simplest option this industry could take is just treating software that is more than however the fuck many years old, right, and is not currently available in any way, to just be treated as abandonware, right? Abandonware used to be a concept in PC software, right? And it's really the healthiest thing would just be to be able to say, okay, dude, God Hand isn't on anything and it hasn't been in how many, you know, 15 plus years, then fuck it. Finn.
I gotta bounce.
Okay. I love you, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
I just want to end by saying that I would emulate all of you.
Oh,
I think that's a compliment.
Thankfully, you don't have to.
You got Finn, dude. You got the original right here, baby. Anytime you need it.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't want to deal with the original.
No, Finn, you got to physical.
If he's got to emulate any one of us,
Finn, I'm gonna emulate it.
Finn at PAX, you got the physical copy all to yourself, buddy.
Why do you think Finn isn't rooming with us?
Yeah. That's That's my own game preservation method. Anyway, all right.
Love Later, you guys.
I'm not rooming with you, but I'm still there in spirit.
Yeah, love you, Bobby.
Monetarily.
That's what matters. All right. Peace. Okay, that's great podcast content.
Oh, wait.
So I'm going to use an example. I'm going to use kind of like how I foresee this, right? Like this is going to sound a little strange at first, but bear with me. I desperately want the federal government to legalize marijuana. Desperately.
No, I mean, Derek, you've got me. I don't know where this is going, Derek, but I'm in.
No.
Derek's like, drugs? Hell yeah. Where's this going?
Yeah, dude, we go get potted up on some weed? Yeah, dude.
And Derek, you know goddamn well why I want the federal government to legalize marijuana.
Hey, Britt, can you get high in Boston?
Oh, I can't. Okay. I don't know if it'll be beneficial.
Massachusetts, it's legal.
The war on drugs. Oh, hold on. Because this is going to make sense. The war on drugs was a fucking disaster.
Right.
It was a disaster. It did far more harm than it did good. And in the end, it accomplished nothing. Right?
Accomplished fucking up black communities for
exactly
the
yeah.
rest of time.
Well, it accomplished nothing
thanks,
good.
Thanks, Reagan.
Say that.
I was going to say, thanks, Reagan.
It's always Reagan's fault.
I've been saying, all you fucking, like, look, federal government, the smart play is to just fucking federally legalize marijuana, tax it, like you do alcohol, and sell it at ABC style stores. Boom, you've won. And everybody gets to smoke fucking weed and you're making money. It's the same fucking thing that publishers can do the same fucking thing with emulator like Emu Paradise and fucking Cool ROMs, et cetera, right now. Bring these fucking people on board, have them do the fucking work for you, split the costs. You've just ended emulation. And at the same time, everybody is doing what they fucking want to do, which is give you money. Toriyama died?
What?
No. No.
No.
Akira Toriyama's gone.
Holy fuck, dude. Wow. Dude,
holy
nobody tell
shit.
CJ.
Oh, fuck. All right.
Damn.
I'm pivoting completely.
Yeah. Fuck, what a legend.
Akira Toriyama suddenly what I'm saying isn't all that important. Akira Toriyama, I mean, I'm not a Dragon Ball fan, but I am a fucking Chrono Trigger and Dragon Quest fan. And that guy illustrated huge portions of my childhood. And to see him gone, wow. Wow, what a fucking a bright fucking light has gone out.
You want
did
to
they
talk
say
about,
like what?
I'm looking right
How
now.
How old was he? How old was he?
Oh, I mean, he's up there.
Is he up there in
I don't
years?
Think he's that
no,
up there.
He's 68. Wow, yeah, he's younger than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, acute subdural hematoma. That sucks.
What the fuck is that? Is that?
Those are dogs, did he have like John. You have three of them. You know what they are.
Okay. All right. So, yep. So, Moo had one of those in her ears. It's a buildup of blood, right?
Yeah.
Clot, basically, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Fuck.
That's wild. Like, that's fucking awful.
Just what a fucking legend, right? I mean, like, Dragon Quest.
Absolutely.
Like, everyone, look.
Immediately, I thought of Dragon Quest.
Everyone and their grandma knows about Dragon Ball, right? Trigger. Toriyama is.
He did so much more.
Yeah, but Dragon Quest, dude, you can't mention Chrono Trigger in the same level of Dragon Quest is the fucked up thing, right? Like, Dragon Quest is it. Like, that's an entire genre of
Chrono
games.
Trigger, like.
Well, just Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest is the RPG. It's the original, like, other than, like, text-based adventure games over here in the West.
Yeah.
Like, we owe everything to Dragon Quest, which is so much Toriyama's style.
He had one of the most recognizable art styles in any medium.
Absolutely. To this day.
Like any medium.
We got that Sandland game coming out.
Sandland?
Not long,
which is a great, underappreciated little manga.
Man, that sucks. I'm sorry, dude. 68 is too fucking young.
It is.
That's
That's real young for
That's too fucking young, man. Yeah. Oh my god, that ruined my whole.
That's rough.
Wow.
You have to like imagine too, like I know we're a video game podcast, but just from like a nerd standpoint, like, do you know how many people grew up with Dragon Ball?
I mean, I've talked all the time about like how I don't watch anime, but I watch Dragon Ball. I got the entire collection on Blu-ray right beside me. Like, it's
it's like that's defined so many people's childhoods into their adulthood. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a big like talking point for anime fans now. It's mm-hmm. like it's almost like a meme. Like, dudes just like Dragon Ball, and like that's what they bond over.
Yeah,
and. It like it's just wild.
Dude, I'm fucking.
I think who was it in chat just said, I think Mick in chat said like everyone knows that art style. Like you see they the do. Design He's and right. you recognize yeah. it. And I was playing Jackbox last weekend with some friends. And their neighbor came in and played with us, and she was younger. I don't even guarantee you she didn't watch Dragon Ball or anything growing up. But like one of the prompts or something was like anime character, and we were like drawing, and her anime character was just like It was Toriyama, because like obviously everyone
Goku's spiky hair.
Yeah, but like the facial structure, right? Like the eye shape, the cheekbones and stuff like that. It was like so unequivocally Toriyama, and it's just like that image, like you said, is just it's just ingrained in so many of our minds, even when you don't recognize it because it's so iconic.
So we have an official statement from the Dragon Quest. The Dragon Ball Twitter account. I'll read it. Dear friends and partners, we are deeply sad to inform you that manga creator Akira Toriyama passed away on March 1st. So this happened 6 days ago. They're just now announcing it. Mm-hmm. Passed away on March 1st due to acute subdural hematoma. He was in age of 68. It's our deep regret that he still had several works in the middle of creation with great enthusiasm. Also, he would have many more things to achieve. However, he has left many manga titles and works of art to this world. Thanks to the support of so many people around the world, he has been able to continue his creative activities for over 45 years. He was doing this. We hope that Akira Toriyama's unique world of creation continues to be loved by everyone for a long time to come. We inform you the sad news with gratefulness for your kindness during his lifetime. Funeral service was held with his family and very few relatives. Following his wishes for tranquility, we respectfully inform you that we would not accept flowers, condolences, gifts, visiting offerings, and others. Also, we ask you to refrain from conducting interviews with his family. Future plan for commemorating gathering is not decided. We will let you know when it's confirmed. We deeply thank you for your understanding and support as always.
Man, that's so sad.
Ugh.
You know, and it's like...
Go ahead, Britt.
No. Go ahead, because I was going to like kind of shift a little bit, so go ahead.
I was just going to say that I hope this doesn't sound trite, but this has guaranteed... that after I'm done with 7, I'm replaying Chrono Trigger and Dragon Quest 11.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna finally replay 11 and finish it this time.
Like this, and I hope that doesn't sound cheesy or trite, but that really
is nothing.
No, because this is what Toriyama did, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was an artist.
You're indulging in his art. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's wild too to think. Like, I mentioned, we've got that Sandland game coming up, and I think an anime adaptation, finally, unless I'm tripping, but, like, I'm also sitting here thinking, like, guys, we have a Dragon Quest 3 remake that we still need to see, like, for real.
Yeah.
So that's been, you're talking about a remake of one of the probably single most influential games of all time. It's the game that spawned like so many urban legends about laws in Japan around Dragon Quest because otherwise it would like shut down the economy from people not going to work.
Dude, it shows up in fucking Like a Dragon.
Yeah, it's everything.
Like an infinite world. Dragon Quest 12 is on the
horizon.
Dragon Quest is literally ingrained into Japanese culture. Like if people doubt the impact of Toriyama's art, I've never seen a single fucking episode of Dragon Ball Z, not a single fucking one. And yet Akira Toriyama's art is up there right next to Yoshitaka Amano as having shaped my fucking childhood and my adolescence.
I played Blue Dragon because it was Akira Toriyama's designs, right?
Yep.
Like a perfectly mid RPG, if we're being honest, right? Like,
you're not wrong.
But like
one
that I bought brand new and played based solely on Toriyama's
Toriyama and the Gooch.
Think,
what the
think
fuck
of all the Dragon? Mid like, Dragon Quest spinoffs that CJ's played in the last year or two because of the Toriyama art.
I mean,
what a podcast not to like where Finn left early and then CJ's not on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what the fuck?
I've told y'all that I was more fond of Dragon Quest Monsters as a kid than I was a Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know, like, so those little weird, little guys he designs were just like, that's
I'm
my shit.
I'm to see if Finn will come back on the call because I don't think he knows this.
I don't know that
but
I
to
want.
To John's point, like, I don't think there's anything trite about, like, it's kind of a thing where I don't want to say we take things for granted, but there's a feeling that sinks in when you realize, like, I'm never going to get more of this thing that I love and I maybe didn't, you know, appreciate it to the full extent that I could have. And now I want to really go back and kind of revel in that and soak it in and just kind of pay tribute. I think that's a totally natural response to anything like this.
And that's like kind of what I was going to piggyback off of is,
Finn's here. I think it's important that Finn say something about this. Hey, Finn.
Yeah.
Hey, man. So I don't know if you saw this, but Akira Toriyama's gone.
No.
Yeah. Just put out. I guess he passed a couple days ago, and quiet. For his family.
Well,
but,
Finn, I asked you to come back on because I know how important Dragon Ball is to you.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's not, I'd like to give you a chance to say something, dude, because I know how much Toriyama's art has kind of shaped you throughout the years.
Well, beyond Dragon Ball, I mean, his work on Dragon Quest and Chrono Trigger, obviously, also huge. But yeah, I mean, Dragon Ball's been such a big part of my life, both professionally and not professionally, that it's... Damn, that's going to be a big part of everything for the next couple days.
Yeah.
Going to be doing a lot of retrospectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he had already... His successor is currently the one writing the current Super manga and stuff like that. But damn, that's... Yeah, dude. Dragon Ball, everything
he was only
done.
Finn, he was only 68 too, man.
Yeah.
Britt, I want to hear where you were going too.
Yeah, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it's wild to be in a state where things we love are just kind of going away, right? Like, you know, every now and then you find a little like niche of something that you love, and it comforts you, and you know, it's where you find friends, it's where you find a community, and it's like, I know, like, Rooster Teeth is gone. I know by the end of it there was a lot of issues with the company itself as far as like harassment and that kind of thing, but you know, I personally met a lot of people through the Rooster Teeth community, and I know a lot of people did as well. So to just like, it's sad to see the things that you watched kind of like rise to its fame and success just all of a sudden just be, that's it. It's gone, you know?
And you mentioned, you know, like it bringing people together, right? Think of the presence of, yeah, not just Dragon Ball, but like largely Dragon Ball across all mediums, like we kind of discussed, right? Like, there's some popular, especially recently, there's been quite a resurgence in Dragon Ball games.
Yeah.
Think of all the conventions and stuff like that, and it'll go on, and I'm sure the property or the franchise will continue. But that's a big loss for all those communities, right? All those fans, cosplayers and stuff. Like, there will be no new Toriyama created characters.
Nothing. Like that. Like, Finn, before you came on, I was saying, like, look, like, I've never seen a single episode of Dragon Ball Z, and yet Toriyama managed to be probably tied with Amano as the most influential fucking artist of my entire childhood and adolescence. Like,
Dragon
Warrior.
I might honestly make the argument that Toriyama's potentially the most recognizable and influential
artist. You're probably right, Derek.
Of my lifetime, across any medium.
I would agree with that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? There's no other artist of any medium who is so visually and immediately recognizable, so frequently copied. So
I was going to say, like, maybe like Studio Ghibli, but like, I don't think it has that mainstream reach.
It doesn't have that mainstream, right?
And I mean, not Toriyama defined the things he worked on, defined multiple genres. They defined animation, they defined comics, they defined video games.
Mm-hmm. Well, Derek, the thing is, if you ask any Joe on the street, like, hey, what's Japanese anime? What's anime?
It's fucking Dragon Ball.
They're going to tell you fucking Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And it's wild to think that, like, it's also a big part of what made anime mainstream over here. Just because it was one of the first animes that they...
I'll be honest with you, Britt, if not for Toriyama and Dragon Ball, I don't think anime would have fucking caught on here the way it did.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would also attribute that to Sailor Moon, because Sailor Moon was on, but Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon were the two. Yeah.
Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon were like the shows for the 90s kids.
Yep.
But I mean, it's impossible to overstate.
Legit, the only copies of any anime in my
house. Yeah, see? See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your cat's name, Jeff?
Fuck it.
It's Luna.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Fuck it. I'm going to start watching Dragon Ball Z this weekend.
Watch Kai.
I don't know where the fuck to start, but I'm going to stream it on Discord.
Watch Kai.
Well, and Kai is good. That's the one I've got. And Delaby in chat kind of mentioned, I was thinking it already. It kind of links back into the talk about like emulation and keeping those games alive. Like, man, wouldn't it fucking suck if 20 years from now you couldn't play any games with Toriyama's art in it? Right? Like, wouldn't that suck?
Yeah, he's not going
to... Wouldn't that be a huge disservice to his work?
It's an interesting... you know what? It's an interesting question, right? And you know what it kind of reminds me of, Jeff, is... and Finn, dude, I know you're not feeling well, man. I needed you to...
No, I appreciate it. I would have not known until tomorrow had you not...
Well, I just know that for you especially, this would hit hard. Yeah, so I wanted to give you a chance to kind of...
I worked on Dragon Ball stuff for years professionally. Mm-hmm. So in both games and anime capacities, you know, one of my last projects I ever worked on was helping get the Macy's Day Goku balloon done.
Yeah.
So it's
fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. That's fucking crazy pants.
Yeah. Like I know life happens and we've all got an expiration date, but 68 is still too fucking young, man.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. Oh, God. Sorry. I know we had topics to talk about, but this is a big enough loss to where
that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Jeff's gone. Jeff was too depressed. He decided to leave. But like, you know, Jeff raised a good point before. There he is. Jeff, you're back. You kind of raised a good point, Jeff, and I wanted to bring it up. It's like, how do you honor his legacy going forward? And it kind of reminds me of the debate about Chadwick Boseman and Black Panther, right? Like, there was a subset of people who were like, well, recast the role because it's what Chadwick would have wanted. And there was another, you know, group of people who were like, well, you know, don't recast the role because that was his role. Like, he is T'Challa. And so I guess I'm wondering, like, with Toriyama gone, does somebody else just draw on that art style? Like, I don't like it's like, I know that you're comparing
you
apples to oranges
art
here,
style, but I think you've already got, if you look at like Toriyama was not drawing every cell of Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or Dragon, certainly not Dragon Ball Super. Right. He probably wasn't even doing any keyframes in Dragon Ball Super.
Right. That's why I say it's not comparing apples and oranges and whatnot. You know,
I think the reality of it is that certain franchises that he has traditionally been involved with, right? Stuff like Dragon Ball and Dragon Quest may continue, and you're going to have artists ape his style because that's the way that those things have always looked, and to change them would be blasphemous.
I think so too.
I do also think you're going to see occasional people try to ape that style for original things. And I think that's going to, we're going to deal with it case by case, but I think that's going to feel like bad taste in a lot of
CJ,
cases.
CJ knows.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. It's
what's going to be in bad taste?
I think new like devs or like animators making stuff that looks like exactly like Toriyama's art style is going to feel in bad taste. Right? Not necessarily people working on franchises he's done, but like...
Okay, I was going to say...
Because like so Dragon Ball is going to continue. Dragon Quest is going to continue.
Right.
And somebody's going to make a Dr. Slump animation. Continuing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man.
But I do have to head back out.
All right. Mm-hmm. Love you, buddy.
Love you guys. Thank you for
telling me. Get some rest.
Later, bye. Buddy.
But yeah, I just think, you know, I think we're going to be... We're going to be talking about and feeling about this for a while because it is an inevitability that something new. I mean, fuck, again, Sandland is right on the horizon. Multiple projects.
It's like April, right?
I think so.
There's got to be another super movie in some level of production because those movies have been doing really good.
Dragon Quest 3 and 12 are both on the way. And like Dragon Quest isn't going to end. At 12.
Yeah.
And Dragon Ball is not going to end at one more super movie. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
And they shouldn't. Like you said, they shouldn't, I don't think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because he's not, I mean, he's the creator of Dragon Ball, but like Dragon Quest was always a huge collaborative work. And Dragon Ball has become a huge collaborative work. You know, that has kind of expanded a little past him. So, yeah, man, it's just wild.
That's, man, I'll tell you what. Like that blows. That fucking that just ruined my whole fucking weekend.
That's crazy, man.
Well, Derek, we that was a kind of a more depressing way to end the show than I had wanted.
Yeah, I wanted to slag on Warner Brothers being stupid and not understanding that Suicide Squad's a live game.
We can do that.
I got news for you. It won't be long before you have another opportunity to
Warner
slag
Brothers is going to give us more reasons to make fun of them for sure.
Derek, that's one of those topics that can wait a week. It'll be just as fresh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I would argue that it was very nice to hear everybody's nice opinions and just bring up their memories and how much he's affected everybody.
Of a legend.
You know, it's sad that he's gone, but it's also incredible to witness his legacy firsthand with people that you care about. And
that's true. No, Britt, that's a great point. And I also want to point out real quick before we wrap up here that Britt and I attended Distant Worlds.
Oh yeah, we did
that last weekend. And I can't remember when it was, but one of the hot boys of Final Fantasy popped up on the screen and Britt just leans over to me and goes, "Smash."
It was Robon.
Okay, right. It was Robon.
Specifically
right.
In prison when he's all grizzled up.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. I was going to do that the whole time, but I was like, nah, I don't want to be annoying. This is like his first
Britt,
experience.
Before we sign off, we can take an extra minute to do this. Can you describe to Derek and Jeff, because Derek, here's the thing. They played Honeybee Inn. And they had the fucking video on
and
the screen.
They made AMVs there.
And
they had like AMVs to all like their music. So it was really cool. Like they did the Final Fantasy VIII battle theme and they had the, you know, when they did their seed test. And then like they played the music throughout the whole thing and it was just really fucking cool.
Britt was watching Vicky's reactions to Honeybee Inn because she has no context for this
shit. It
was
so good.
And Britt, like how fun
was it
was
like
that
introducing flaming hot Cheetos to a Victorian child? Like
it, like it was really funny because like she had been like, I was really nervous that she was going to just fucking hate the experience.
No, she loved it. Like,
yeah, she loved it. But it was like funny to like, that was what brought the most emotion like out of her. It was like, it started and she immediately just kind of looked at John like, what the fuck? And then like throughout the whole time, she would just go, like, what's happening? Like,
she's just watching.
They showed the massage scene. They're like, are they having a dance-off, bro? And John was like, actually, they are.
Well, no, and they showed like Cloud's O face when he was on the table,
right?
And with Madam and Vicky's like looking at me like this, Derek. She's like,
this is why you like these games,
like, yeah. And I'm like, look, you might think he's coming, and you might be right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, you might be right. Like, you're not far off from that. But yeah, it was really funny just to watch her. Like, my favorite part was when Like she got really excited when Cloud got into drag, and then she got her reaction to Don Corneo and just how he looked with everybody's dress. She was like, "What the fuck is happening?"
She was like, "Ugh!" But when Cloud got dressed up in drag, she was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
Seven
doesn't get enough credit for like being what it is.
Derek, they had I'm not shitting you, the Washington Gamers chorus. And they were fucking great. And they did the lyrics to Honey Bee In. It's a silly name, but dude, they were really fucking good. And when they played the Chocobo song, and every time they went it cut to a video of that Chocobo popping out of Saz's hair from 13. Every single time they went, that shit popped up on the screen. Like it was fucking great. The experience, it was my first one. I fucking loved it.
I thought Gamer's chorus was anytime I logged into an Xbox Live lobby and got called the F slur by a dozen, dozen 13-year-olds.
That's the gamer experience, not the chorus.
Yeah.
But also, Derek, Tara fell in love with Britt.
Yeah, I saw, and I'm displeased about the fact that Tara fucking yelled at all of us. And then,
she did very well this time around.
Britt, Tara came downstairs looking for you.
Oh, really?
She ran downstairs and she was sniffing around Jaden's room.
Why not me?
Anyway, your time will come.
Let's
go ahead and wrap it up.
Final notes. We have the Discord. Yay. Come join the Discord. Good place. Safe place. Heavily moderated place to talk about all manner of nerdery with folks of various backgrounds. Remember that while none of our content is ever gated behind a money wall, you can support us either on Patreon or by subbing here on Twitch. Just a couple bucks. It helps us to do things like pay to go to PAX, for example, because travel's not cheap, hotel's not cheap, and money helps.
In this economy?
Right. Mm. And then like to get together to do the charity get together towards the end of the year, stuff like that.
Not only that, like I'll just mention, we just had to re-up our hosting solution for our domain and emails that we use for all of our PR communications and stuff, which is literally how we cover games for the podcast. And our Patreon funds for the last year covered our entire renewal, and that's thanks to like everyone who pitches in there.
Yeah,
we're definitely not the 1%. So,
We will be, like I said, many of us will be at PAX East. So if you happen upon us at PAX East, please come say hi. We might be very busy and running to an appointment, but we'll let you know. And beyond that, you should still ask to say hi. It's fine.
I always please like
do not be
I look
afraid
very,
of us. John looks so intimidating, but
I look intimidating.
So fucking mad and angry all the time.
Yeah.
I'm actually a huge sweetheart.
We probably do not have that panel that I've been working on. It does seem like we didn't make it.
I'm
off
not
the wait
giving
list.
Up hope until we get the rejection email, Derek.
But I did go ahead and tabulate all the results. So if we don't get to do this panel, we'll just get Ben on here for something and we'll talk about the best boys. I will say this. I famously don't really know Final Fantasy 14, so I had to learn about Final Fantasy 14 boys.
Oh, Britt, I told him all about Godbert.
Based on who was heavily written in and who was heavily requested,
I wrote on Emmett Silk.
I'm gonna warn you that the most popular FF14 boy that you all suggested by a mile was some motherfucker named Grahatia.
Yeah,
I googled him and I immediately went, all of you need Jesus.
Hate it.
Smash.
I fucking hate it.
Oh, I know specifically there's somebody in the chat who's going through 14 right now. So don't say anything else.
No,
but.
Okay. I don't know anything about him. I just know why you all picked
He's
him.
A
and
cat
again,
boy twink.
Smash. So, that's
all right, Derek.
That's what we got. Folks, thank you all. We will be back next week for our final show before PAX. Other than that, be kind to each other. Kindness costs nothing.
Justinian was robbed.
Take
thank you.
Kindness. Highly rated. It's okay. Justinian was up there.
Nothing. Rest in peace, Toriyama.
Thank you.